Now, not yet with the open lines, but we will get to that, I guarantee. It's a long night. 4 hours is a lot of show with as few breaks as we ever have. All right, you know what? We've got a winner. That's right. In the ghost photo contest, we've got a winner. And I think that I've got her on the line right now. Her name is Rebecca O'Donnell, and she found out about 2 minutes ago or 3 minutes ago that she was the winner of our ghost photo contest for Babushka. So, Rebecca, welcome to a Spooky Matter.
Thank you, Art. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Congratulations. You know, you got a brand new radio, and you got a one-year subscription to SiriusXM.
I'm so very excited.
Yeah, it's a good deal. How did you come upon the show?
I actually had heard many rumors about the great Art Bell, and one of my friends is an XM subscriber, Sirius subscriber, and I just happened to be over, and I got to listen to a couple of your programs, and I loved it.
Uh-huh. Well, we depend on that kind of thing for sure. Anyway, tell me about Babushka, would you please?
Okay, I actually worked with a fellow at a cable company local here, and he knew that I did some amateur ghost hunting, and we would talk about that, and he was kind of shy to show me, but he actually showed me this photograph that I entered in the contest, and said that that was at his sister's house, and that they had been experiencing creepy stuff that had been going on in the home. And when I saw that picture, I had never seen anything like that before. I had gotten orbs myself, but nothing ever like that.
Oh, I've seen orbs too. Yeah, but orbs are not what you brought us. And by the way, yours was picked as the winner by the most positive comment. There were like 100, I think, positives on you for that, and it was clear winner. There was one other, but it got qualified because somebody had poached it from another website.
Oh, okay.
So, yours is an original, and it's totally a winner, and, you know, whoever took it, who took that?
That was my coworker's name is David.
Okay, well, boy, he did a good job. I mean, to be able to catch something like that with a camera.
Oh, it spooked him. It spooked him very much so. And he didn't even really know what he had captured until he had seen it in his phone, you know, he really saw it. So it was before all those applications. I was going to say it before all the iPhone applications and all the little things that you can do trickery with. It was before that even really evolved yet. So that was what made it even neater, you know.
Do you actually know the date or rough date?
Yeah, it was taken around 2007.
Okay, 2007. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Rebecca, bless your heart for entering. Bless your heart for having a really good ghost photograph. And enjoy the radio and the one-year free subscription. And we'll expect you to call back.
Thank you so much, Art. Such a pleasure to talk to you.
Take care. All right. That is Rebecca O'Donnell, the winner of the radio and the one-year free subscription. Told you somebody was going to win. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Spooky Matter. Now, what tonight is going to be, as I mentioned, is a combination of those who have sent in ghost stories as requested. And we are in the process now of calling you. Now, we will augment that, if need be, with open line ghost stories. However, I want to serve up a warning to you. I want to be scared. If I'm not scared by your story, it's probably not a really good one. It's got to put a little chill, raise the hair, you know, maybe on the back of my neck and put a little chill down my spine. And I scare fairly easily. So they've got to be good ghost stories. You know, if we take pot luck, they've got to be good ghost stories. And I'm also going to make a special request tonight that if you're an over-the-road trucker, I know there's at least 4 or 5 of you out there, that if you want to tell your ghost story, you pull over safely into a rest area or the side of the road somewhere where you're safe so you can tell your ghost story with the with a good cell connection and with reasonable quiet in the cab, as it were. So that said, I think we ought to get underway. All right, Spooky Matter underway for Halloween night. I'm Art Bell. You've got to love that laugh. I can do it, sort of. How's that? Spooky Matter on Halloween night. And I know many little ones are out there tromping through the night. By the way, including mine. In fact, one of the photographs on the front of artbell.com tonight is of my little one, Asia Rainbell, ready for candy collection. As you can see, very ready for candy collection. She lives in fear that when she gets home, Daddy will claim all her candy. In past years, I have played around with her like that. And so now I believe that when she gets home, which she will before I do, of course, she will hide it. Who knows where? We'll probably find it next year. All right, let's go to Tennessee. And Osage, I guess the name is, right? Is the name Osage? Hello, Tennessee. Hello, Osage. Are you there, my friend? Well, let me try it again. Let me try it again. Osage, are you there, buddy?
Yes, Art. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I thought we had lost you for a moment, but no, we have you. All right, so what's spooky in Tennessee?
Nothing. The story I have is actually whenever I was overseas in the military. First, I just want to say I'm a little nervous, so I apologize.
Oh, relax. So, in other words, it's like an alien ghost story.
Okay, yeah. I also want to give a shout-out to Bell Gab, to all those guys out there.
The Bell Gab people? Yes, indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
What do I call them? Vicious but vaguely lovable? That's really an apt description.
Yeah. Well, the story had to do whenever I was in the military. It was the 2002, 2003. I was stationed overseas in Korea. I was at a Camp Stanley base, which is kind of far north. And,
right.
Let
me stop you. What is it like? You know, I've been to Korea any number of times, but being actually in the military and stationed in Korea. Well, put it this way: I've heard of our troops in Korea referred to in interesting ways, as though you're kind of there so that if the North starts a war, America's automatically brought into it. Is that how you guys looked at it there?
Kind of. I mean, well, you know, a lot of people don't know, I guess, that we were never actually, we signed a ceasefire. We never signed a peace treaty, so we were technically still at war.
That's correct.
And they stationed me there because I after the 9/11 happened, I wanted a combat. I thought I was going to go to Iraq, but instead they sent me to Korea instead. So
well, you darn near got some combat anyway. It got pretty tense there for a while.
Yeah, it did. We had riots and stuff outside our base, and they had an accident. It's kind of a long story what happened, but...
All right, I'll let you get to it. Don't worry. You know, every year, a whole bunch of South Koreans get together in like almost a mob, and they march on the gate, you know, north. And, you know, I always thought, what is that about? These guys are down in South Korea where... You know, where they have freedoms and a relative good life, the economy's in great shape, and Korea's just booming, and yet they march on the North Gate. I always thought, you know, what they should have done one year is just open the damn gate, let them march on north, and close it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that the public doesn't hear about. The reason why they were rioting on our base was because we had an accident where two girls were actually ran over by one of our tracked vehicles. I'm sure you can look about it on the internet, but they were pretty bad. They were actually throwing the Molotov cocktail bombs over the fences, and we had some buildings catch on fire. But yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, I don't want to stop you from your story. Proceed, please.
Okay. Well, during the end of my time, I was usually when everybody does their last 3 months, they try to keep them on light duty so that they don't get injured, because if they get injured, it causes complications. So they put me on the unit police, which anybody who's been on a base over there knows what a UP is. It's kind of like NP, only you're a security guard, I guess you could say.
Yeah, in the Air Force, we call them APs, but yeah.
Yeah. So basically, I would be in charge of the gates, and they would rotate us around different gates. And I always liked the night shift because I'm just kind of a night person, you know? And so they picked me to work on this gate, which I actually worked there whenever I was during my time up in the upper part. It's called the AHA, which is the ammo holding area.
Right.
And up there they have, that's where the last line of defense, I guess you could say, for artillery. The North Koreans had their artillery focused on us, and the only thing we could do is store ammo inside the mountain and in a big tunnel. So to get to that tunnel, you had to go through the gate, and that was the gate that I was, stationed at, in charge of. Mm. So during the night shift, first I want to say that place had a reputation already. The people there, the Koreans, I've heard them talking before. And I remember one time early on when I first came there, I asked them what they were talking about. And the Korean guy told me, kind of laughed it off. He said, well, they were talking about how that place is haunted. And this was during the daytime. I really didn't understand, what it was about. But I found out later that during a safety briefing we had, that there was a soldier that was killed there in the area, and it was pretty gruesome. He died when he was airing up a tire, and a split ring came off and killed him.
Ooh, ow.
Yeah, and it was probably instant death, but it was in the area that I worked, in the area, you know. So, anyways, I would work there at night shift, and things were pretty calm. Nothing really happened. It was me and another person at all times, and we really didn't have anything happen. I mean, we had cameras there, and it was really quiet. And one night when we were up there, one of the vehicles, and these are Hemets, these are pretty big vehicles, it just started on its own. And first we heard the rumble, and we didn't know what it was. So we got up, we went outside the door, and I could hear it running. And we looked at each other, and that's when it really kind of got spooky, because I worked those machines, and I know that we don't have those malfunction and just cut on their own.
Right. That's bad to start the story off. A vehicle starting by itself is not good at all.
Yeah. Well, it kind of spooked both of us out, and I decided to go because I knew those vehicles to begin with. So he stayed in the guard shack that we had, and I went over there to the vehicle. And first of all, I was really creeped out because it was in the dark area. So I had to kind of walk in the dark, and I looked around the vehicle, and I didn't see anything at all.
Mm.
So I opened the cab up, and I cut the vehicle off, and then went about, went on our way, and we just noted it in the log. So that was the first time something had happened, and we had similar incidences with other people where the lights had cut on. People had noted in the logs about similar incidents like us. Now, I don't know if they took it serious or not, because I don't think maybe nobody read the logs, because I mean, that place clearly had something going on. But later on, I guess it was maybe a week or so, or maybe 2 weeks later, the horn on one of the Hemets, and I mean, almost, I think it was the same one. It might not have been, but it was in the same area. Started just going off on its own. And this is maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the night. And we're both in there, and it goes off. And we're just nearly jump out of our seats and fall down, because it scared the crap out of both of us,
By this time, I'd be worried that thing would start up and head toward me.
Yeah, I was actually so scared, I made the other guard get out and go with me, which we're not supposed to do, because someone's supposed to be at the gate.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I actually had to go up there and undo the chain, and it was just really weird. I don't understand how that could happen. I mean, I don't know. If you think about ghosts, if ghosts are real, you know, how can they influence real things? I don't know, but I do know that a guy did die there. And
I guess your story kind of says they can.
Yeah. Well, it's just too weird. Yeah.
I really appreciate your story. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, a vehicle does not start itself. A vehicle does not suddenly start, especially if it's the same one, begin blowing its own horn, so to speak. So there you have it, a story all the way from Korea. And when you think about it, hauntings certainly would not be exclusive to any one area. They would be all over the world. And guess what? They are. Ghost stories are as famous in Japan and Germany and every other country in the world as they are here. In other words, ghosts are universal. Let's go to right here in Nevada and John. John, welcome to Spooky Matter. Hello, John.
Yeah, good morning, Art. Mega Roswells.
Not morning yet, not even on the East Coast, but
yeah, not
hey
really.
There.
Great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you too.
Yeah.
So you've got a story for us, I take it.
Yes, I bought a house out in Elbridge, Iowa, and I only lived in it 14 months. I worked for Caterpillar, and they closed the plant, so I moved out of Iowa and moved out west here. And we were moving in. And I had just put a 9-drawer dresser into the one bedroom that was going to be my daughter's bedroom. And me and my son, he's 15, carried it in there and put it in. And I went out to the kitchen to grab a cup of coffee, and I come back to the room, and I couldn't open the door. And the dresser had slid in front of the door. At first, I thought my son was in there messing with something.
The dresser slid in front of it. Now, was somebody in the room or no?
No, no one was in the room.
A 9-drawer dresser, that's big,
right. Yeah.
Moved itself in front of the door.
Yeah. And I thought my son was in the room doing something, you know. And
sure, of course, yes.
And I turn around, and I'm hollering through the door. I said, open this up. I want to get this other stuff in there. And then he comes in out from the front door with another box of stuff, you know, and I'm going, well, who's in here? So anyway, I had to pry the door open and slide that dresser out of the way to get back into a room that was empty.
Well, that's just plain impossible.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. And, I mean, me and my wife sat down, had a cup of coffee, and like, you know, you just bought the house. What do you do?
I know. I'll tell you, I think what I would have done. Did you buy from an individual or a realtor or what?
No, I was a realtor. But I knew the guy that had lived there before, and he had never said anything about the house. I mean, I had worked with him at CAP.
Yeah, no reports of ghosts, right?
No. And it was a very strange thing. And my dog would never go in that room. We sat there and decided, well, this is pretty strange. So she said, well, it's not going to be my daughter's bedroom. She says, that's going to be your poker room then. And so
is that what
I moved my dresser and the daughter into the other room. So all I put in there was my poker table and stereo, you know.
But, how did you do at poker after that?
Not real well in that room.
That's just, I love the story because it's impossible.
Yeah, you know, and you sit there and you look at yourself, and, you know, I was looking at my wife and going, did this really just happen? I mean, did I have to pry this door open to get in here? You know, and it's like, you know,
it's impossible. Yeah, it's impossible.
It happened any other way.
No, it couldn't have. I really appreciate your story, and that's two stories in a row.
Well, I wanted to mention one other thing. I had moved back to Iowa. My dad had Alzheimer's and stuff, and I was driving down the street, and I saw they had an open house at that house. And I was telling my girlfriend, I said, you know, I used to own this place. And
right.
I said, let's go in and take a look, you know. And
yes.
I'm talking to the realtor. I did want to check. There was a little cheap little under-the-counter kitchen light that I'd put in when I bought the place, and it was still there. But I talked to the realtor, and she said that house had sold 7 times since I had it.
Seven times?
Nobody ever stayed very long in it. I don't know if anybody else had trouble or not. But
did you tell the realtor about what you just told me?
Oh, yeah, she says, I don't want to hear anymore. She says, I got to be here all afternoon.
I completely understand. And you know what? Despite the laws that say, that you have to tell somebody if a house is haunted, it was sold, bought and sold 7 times.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody ever mentioned it.
Yeah,
this was, let's see, I bought it in, I think it was 82, and then I left in 83 when they closed the plant, and I moved back there in 2005. So it had sold 7 or 8 times between then, so I don't know.
Right.
Very strange story.
All right, thank you very much, my friend. Listen.
Yep.
Second one in a row of, how can I put this, things being moved without human interaction, or things being moved by a spirit. A vehicle started, a horn that goes, probably on the same vehicle, and now the real impossibility. I'm not sure I'd move into a house like that if something like that happened. I mean, after all, if anybody had moved that 9-drawer dresser up to the door and blocked it, they would then have to still be in that room unless they went sailing through a window. And he said his son was still outside. So that means something that we don't understand moved that thing. And I guess the message would be, not this room. And obviously, Mom understood that message because she did not allow the daughter in there.